The Breakfast Club.
Scotty Allen, good morning to you with all your phone troubles.
Oh, yes.
I haven't heard the last of, I'm sure.
No, I'm about to have a community announcement because I know A. White often uses this format to solve many of his issues.
But this is a lot of technology issues.
This is way more important than anything he's brought up previously.
What is going on with your phone?
My iPhone keeps refreshing and sort of updating all the time.
Yeah.
So it just if you go to write a text and then it starts whizzing back all the text or the email, it starts whizzing.
So you open an email and then it goes straight back to your inbox?
No, you open it and then it sort of moves back your history. See, this is good radio.
Great radio.
But when my man Craig here looks at it, it doesn't do it. So I don't know. He's like kryptonite or something. So, and I did my research. It said you got to turn off your backup refreshing that's going on in the background, which I did. But
app refresh in the background.
There's nothing worse. I remember the days when we didn't have mobile phones. That's giving away my age group. But now that you've got them, it's the one thing. If something's wrong amiss with it, it throws everything out of kilter.
It does, yeah. It's amazing how much we rely on them.
I just want them to work. They don't have to do all the fancy. I just want it to do what it's supposed to do.
One man who's been working his phones feverishly over the last couple of weeks, probably a bit quieter this week.
Well, the power's out in Essendon too at the moment.
Well, he is joining us from the dark. Bills. I know. Rama, good morning. Any chance you could turn a light on in your study?
No need for lights. It's the sun's always out at Essendon, so
clearly we'll open a window or a curtain or something.
No, we'll be fine in a half an hour. Just Scotty, you know what, with that phone,
yeah,
just turn it on and off.
I've
brother.
Done that. I appreciate that. I really do. Where you're coming from, it didn't work either. I'm getting emotional.
It's very confusing.
You know what? I think now the Apple shop. I imagine you've got an iPhone.
Yes, correct.
You have to. You can't just walk in now.
Really?
It's a booking type of setup now. You go in there and you've got to book your time and that time maybe a week later.
It's
sort of the old walk-ins are a thing of the past.
Yeah, I had a MacBook that pooed its pants during lockdown, in the first lockdown, which was a disaster considering when you're trying to work from home. And I tried to get into the Apple store. And they said, "Yeah, we've got the next available appointment to see someone about your frozen MacBook is in July." And that was in about March.
What about Telstra? Can I go to a Telstra shop, Adam, and say, "I'm with you. Fix this."
No, I think it's an Apple problem that you're having, my friend.
There's a way around it, Scotty. What you got to do, which is what I ended up doing, you go to one of the recommended Apple on sellers. And they can often...
This already sounds like a lot of hard work for me.
Well,
I normally pay people to do this stuff.
Well, pay someone to... You can get an air tasker if you want. You pay them $20 an hour, they'll take it down to the...
If I was at work, I'd wander into the technological department and drop it on the desk and go, boys, do something. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going as well as the Golden State Warrior fans would be going, Rama, right now. How about the latest?
Yeah.
For those who are just waking up, update us, Rama and Scotty, on what has happened and what's been confirmed overnight.
Well, Clay Thompson was in LA playing a couple of scrimmages, practice matches amongst others, and has torn his Achilles.
Oh,
this is after missing 12 months, or virtually 12 months, with a knee.
Yeah. ACL, yep. So he's gone from ACL to torn Achilles in the space of 12 months. So obviously that's no basketball for Clay and the Golden State Warriors for the upcoming season, which starts, I think, on the 22nd of December, Scotty. So we're, you know, a month out from the season starting and no Clay Thompson. So it might be a little bit light on again for the Warriors.
Haven't they? I'm not full from grace. I mean, they had a beautiful purple patch, but it suddenly ended abruptly. I mean, Seth will be back. Steph Curry will be back, but without his wingman, wowee.
I think now it's sort of a watch this space and what player they bring into the mix. Obviously, with Clay being out for 12 months, they'll look at that free agency market and the players that are available. But he's an enormous loss. He's just one of the superstars of the NBA.
So Clay earned $32,742,000 this year.
And for resting.
For resting.
Yeah.
Not really resting. He was rehabbing, but...
It's rest, mate. He's on his couch watching TV and getting and then, 30 mil.
And then this year, the season that he's probably going to miss the majority, if not all of...
I think he's in trouble, yeah.
$35,361,360.
It's, yeah, it's...
So $67 million
For not
for
playing.
Resting on Scotty's couch.
That's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Pretty good gig. I like it.
Very nice. Mm. Hey, Rami, did you ever get attacked by plovers during a pre-season run? Now, I thought this was I thought this was a stitch-up yesterday when the story came through.
No, well, you've read it exclusively in the Herald Sun.
Well, actually, someone beat you to it yesterday, Scotty, yesterday afternoon. I thought it was a stitch-up when I saw this pop up on my phone that Morris Rioli Jr., who has been the talk of the town because he wants to head to Richmond, in the combine, had been attacked by some plovers on the way and he'd been affected. And I think they even drew blood, didn't they, Scotty?
Yeah, no, he was doing the 2K time trial that Rama has done many, many times. And
love it. My favourite test.
And the plovers loomed large and he could not complete the trial. And the AFL had to send out, because there's no combine this year, so each state's running their own tests and all the recruiters are getting results. And so the AFL had to send out an email to the recruiters going, oh, by the way, when you're looking for Rioli's 2K, and it's like...
He didn't walk.
And they explained it. And so the recruiters had a bit of fun. And Kinnear Beetson, the Sydney recruiter, had a go at his Melbourne City Slicker comrades because he's a country boy. He said they wouldn't even know what the plovers are. They'd be on Google figuring out what sort of bird it is.
Well, it's funny. I hadn't... it brings back nightmares, plovers, actually. I was playing golf.
I had a recent golf incident with plovers.
Yeah, they are nasty on golf courses. One of the guys I was playing with was about 82.
Oh.
And he got attacked.
Close friends?
Yeah. He got attacked by a plover as he's driving down to the 18th. So there's actually a plover's nest at my course, and they set up each spring. And he was driving down, and it's actually become a ground under repair situation where if your ball now goes in that bunker because the plovers attack you, you can just drop it behind the bunker. But it's still a bit of a risk. Anyway, so he's driven just short of the bunker, was going to drive in, got attacked by the plovers. He's on one of those motorised scooters. All of a sudden, we had an 82-year-old bogged.
How's Maisie's mates, Rammer? These are the people he hangs out with. Yeah, keep going.
I play with the public.
I know, you're a man of the people.
Yeah, so...
So did it strike him or just swoop,
yeah,
swoop, swoop?
No, drew blood.
Really?
Drew blood, yeah. And he tried to wave it away with the one wood. That didn't help. Got a bit confused and ended up bogged in the 18th bunker on the right-hand side. And then all of a sudden you got six guys trying to get a motorised scooter out of the bunker.
I've got to be honest here. I've never heard of a plover attack.
Have really? You? Oh, so you're one of these city slickers.
Obviously the magpie, like you get swooped by the magpies.
They're nearly worse. They're smaller and they're...
Yeah.
I was playing golf at Queens
Cliff. I know what a plover is, but...
Queens Cliff Golf Course, which is Swan Island. Beautiful little... And same thing, just there's this one green, you know, you're going in there, and they come from miles away and just, I didn't get struck, but you got to run for your life.
They stalk you. So what happens is the mum will be looking after the eggs, and then the dad will be 50 metres up the fairway just stalking you in case you go anywhere near the nest.
I'm intrigued, Rama, that Morris Jr., I mean, was there other people at each trial, or he's... They only decide to attack him. I mean,
he's already getting tagged.
I smell a rat here, but he's going to get drafted anyway. So his 2K is irrelevant, really. Richmond are going to take him. What's the mail? I mean, you play with Rioli's. What's the mail? Is he just going to turn up like most of them are and be a superstar?
Probably. That's just how it works with the Rioli family. So no, he's obviously very, very talented. He's come down to obviously Melbourne to play his football over the last couple of years, and who knows? Richmond look like they've got another one. Yeah. Just a quick little side note on the stories of 2K time trials. I won't name this teammate, but we were doing a big training session. We used to do it at Aberfeldy on a Saturday morning. Big session, and one of the, we used to have three stations that you had to go to, and one of the stations was a continuous 20-minute run. Mm. We're running around the track where we would do it, and we lost one of our teammates, and we're sort of like, where's he gone? We've sort of looped back around, and there he is just trying to hide under a tree, just sitting under one of the most random trees, just hiding there by himself. And then he sort of thought, oh, I might be able to sneak back in here and just join the back of the group. And right. Everyone's going, what are you doing?
Let's quickly have a guessing game. Defender or forward?
Nah, you won't guess this one.
You're good, man. Your good friend, Dustin.
Didn't play a lot of football.
Oh, didn't. Oh.
That makes
it
difficult.
Didn't play a lot of
football. Well, we can throw him under the bus if he didn't play much football.
No.
Are you still in contact with him?
We don't do that.
Are you friendly with him? What part of the...
No.
Where does he live right now? Is he still in football?
Oh, that's a great question. I've got no idea.
Oh, you hate him. See, your mama didn't even talk to him.
This will be...
not at all. Just...
This could be in the whisper on...
You won't guess it.
Oh, yeah,
you will not guess it.
Okay. No, there's been plenty of... I mean, I love the... You know, Royal Park, Carlton, getting on trams, all that stuff. It's just the stuff of legend.
Yeah. It is the best. It is the best. Plenty of training going on for Jamie Rogers from Sky Sports Radio and, of course, Tab, who joins us on the line now. She's doing a swim in the English Channel, which is crazy, and I'm going to ask her why. Jamie, good morning and welcome to RSN.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, why are you jumping in the English Channel?
Well, first of all, it was... One of the things, when my husband put it to me that I should swim it, and my first reaction was I couldn't think of anything worse. But the more I thought about it, the more it just seemed like such an interesting challenge. And during COVID, I just felt like everyone had their own challenges, and it really highlighted the importance of mental health. So I'm doing it for a charity called Gotcha for Life, which focuses on mental health programs in schools, and I just wanted to contribute in some way possible. So I thought, what better way to do that than jump in and swim the English Channel, which is just about as much about your mental fitness as what it is about your physical fitness.
Now, tell us about the training. Are you a swimmer normally? Do you jump in the pool at home there in Sydney, or is this something that has come a bit out of the blue?
No. So I was a swimmer. So I haven't completely gone super extreme, but I was always a swimmer in the pool. So I went to nationals and Olympic trials. So I've always been swimming. It's been a whole part of my life. But the pool is very different to being in the ocean, and as well in the ocean, 35Ks is something I've obviously never been close to doing. So at the moment, I'm in pre-preparation. I've got a swimming coach, and the pre-preparation is including 5 days a week, which is one at the beach, four in the pool, and we're averaging around 4Ks a session and five at the beach. So that's just pre-training. Then in January, we start with aiming around 40Ks a week I need to be swimming. And the big sessions on a Saturday at the beach could be anywhere from 4 hours up to 8 hours. So Saturday will always be a really big day. But the first goal is a 20K swimming race on the Gold Coast in May. So plenty of swimming ahead.
Yeah, a lot of swimming ahead, no doubt about that. How are you training for the cold? Because obviously the English Channel is very, very cold, and we see many people swim it over many years, and they've got the lard on their body and all that sort of stuff. Are you sitting in an ice bath or the like, just to combat that at the moment?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the main things that whenever you read about how to cross the channel, one of the main tips is to get your body acclimatized to the cold. So when I'm swimming, it'll be in August, so it's averaging about 15 degrees in the water, which isn't too bad. But being from Australia, obviously, we don't have as cold. So I'll be doing a winter swimming camp, so I feel like I'm back at school. So I go on swimming camps during our winter this year and next year. And I've got to do ice baths, but I don't have to do them yet. That's not until probably 2022, the year of the swim. But I'll be coming down your way, boys, in the winter, because I think swimming in Melbourne waters will really get me ready for that.
Jamie, this is complete madness, but I'm loving hearing that you're doing it and I don't have to even think about it. But you mentioned you've threw in the Sydney Olympics. So as a 15-year-old, who were you swimming against back then? You were at the national level.
Yeah, so my year, I had Lethal Jones, Samantha Riley. I had amazing swimmers back when I was in my peak time. So Lethal Jones was often in my heats and finals at nationals, and she was, what I always loved about that time was, remember, guys, she was really bad off the block. So she used to just basically fall in the water. And my mum always says we'd be in the same race and we'd all dive off beautifully and Lethal Jones would literally fall in the water and then she'd come up miles ahead of us after the underwater start. So she was always a gun.
We're going to go through the quaddy legs. If you're a first-time player here on the Friday form, we'll just look at the quaddy legs at the major meeting tomorrow. And we're at Ballarat, which is going to be fantastic. And don't forget as well, we've got the Country Cup circuit as well, dedicated coverage all through the afternoon tomorrow. Now, we're going to start with the first leg of the quaddy, which is the Suez Makela Mile, over 1,600 metres, benchmark 78, and pretty big fields tomorrow. So, Dean, I imagine it's going to be a pretty tough start to the quaddy.
Yeah, it is a little bit, Andrew. I think that the second and fourth leg are probably harder, but hopefully we can get it off to a reasonable start here. We'll have a couple of runners well in the betting and a couple of roughies as well.
So Right You Are is the $2.70 favourite at the moment, and then the next line of betting is Caffrey at $6.50. Dean, is that where we're looking at the moment?
Right You Are is certainly one of them. He ran well at the Flemington Carnival. There was, you know, pre-race, Mick Price was quite open in saying he didn't think the horse was quite at his best, and he all but won. He ran well. I still think he was probably right. He wasn't at his best. He's a good chance. I think there's a very good chance in the race in Think and Fly. He's just got a great record at 1,600 metres. Now, there's nothing sinister in Damien Oliver getting off Right You Are and riding Think and Fly. I believe it was a misunderstanding about where the two horses were going, and Damien was committed to Think and Fly. But I think he might just get lucky there. I think he's got a terrific chance. I love the way he stretched out late to win at Bendigo. Right You Are's got a great chance because he's a really good talent, and he was solid first up. A couple of odds, I think Serengeti, they've worked out how to ride this horse, and that is go straight to the front and keep improving. And he's been going very well of late doing that, having won his past two. And another one that's massive odds here is Heavenly Emperor. He just had no luck at all first up at Flemington. He was wide all the way, and he's got a fantastic second up record. Carries weight, Lockie King to ride. He's in really good form, next best. But, yeah, got a couple of favourites, but certainly a couple of big odds there worth considering.
All right.
Dino, Compumpage Cup Week, that was a hard watch.
Was a hard watch. There's a lot of hard watches with Compumpage. He runs well. He just doesn't... His last win was this race. He won it last year with 57. This year he's got to carry 61. So the challenge is a fair bit harder than he had last year, but he did run very well.
Maybe my favourite jockey turns him around, Dino.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Willow might be able to get the job done for you on Kaplumpich. If you're going wider, he'd be the next in line. He's won well in the betting here, Caffrey. I thought he ran okay on Oaks Day, but I'm surprised he's so high up in the betting order off that run in the Greys race on Oaks Day.
Quinny, what is the market looking like in the Makela Mile tomorrow over 1,600?
Well, Dino gave a good little push there for Heavenly Emperor, who's currently his fourth-rated horse, who's a $34 chance, $9 the win. That would be a handy way to start the quaddy. Right You Are, as you alluded to, Maisie, a 270 market leader. And just on Caffrey, Dino, currently on the second line of betting at $6.50, is the first emergency, which should get the run now, or does get the run now, with Connery coming out. Why do you think the horse is so short? Do you think it's the three wins from five starts? Do you think it's a bit of the Peter Moody factor? And as a result, do you think we can basically shop around that horse in the first leg of the quaddy?
A little bit. You know, he is a good enough talent, and it was a hard day to lead on Oaks Day. I'll certainly grant him that, but it's never the strongest race of the week, the grey race, and it comes up as a benchmark 90 on the form guide, but I don't think it plays like that. And you know, this is, I think, a deeper race than he ran in on Oaks Day.
All right, Rammer, the all-important numbers for the first leg of the quaddy tomorrow. Fire away. I've always wanted to say
that. Yes, 6, 3, 16 and 1.
6, 3, 16 and 1. All the best in the first leg. Now, the Sportsbet Ballarat Cup is up next, over 2,000 metres. Race 8 on the card tomorrow at 4:25. There's a couple here under double-figure odds. One of our old favourites here on the Breakfast Club, Junipal, who has saluted a few times for us with Dean. And Affair to Remember are the two that have been found in the market. But a pretty open race apart from that, Dean. It's going to be tough finding a winner in the Cup tomorrow.
It is, but I think the starting point is Affair to Remember. She's a local, so she'll be aimed at the Cup. She got her probably her mission done winning the Matriarch Stakes, and I think this is probably the next good option for her. to run well, and I think she's the one to beat. Elgalail, he didn't fire in the Kunji Cup at Caulfield. He was only 19 days between runs there. He's a much better horse when he's fresh. He's now had 38 days to freshen up. I think you'll see the best of him. Junipel, he has placed at 2,000 metres. Still want to see him actually do it. He was good last start, and the speed of the race really suited him at the shorter trip. Now he's got to lengthen out to 2,000 metres on the back up. I think the one that the market's forgotten a bit is number 14, Gamekeeper, who had that good winter campaign. He hasn't been running badly, and he hit the line well on Melbourne Cup Day. And a couple of others I'm throwing in are 7, Pacadali, who's had no luck his last two runs. He's going quite well. And 9, Planciel, who doesn't win very often, but this is just the sort of race from a good draw he could bob up in. But fair to remember's top pick in a very open race.
There's a few here, Dino, good horses who have done good things but haven't for a while. There seems to be a clump that are, you know, Harlem, Kingsville Dream, all in being running good races. Odeon.
Yeah. Fury. Oh, they've landed. Yeah, and they've landed in a $500,000 race here. So they've still got to run pretty well here. I think the weight's got to be a bit of an issue with Kingsville Dream not having won since the Turnbull last year. And I thought Harlem ran well in the Kunji Handicap, which I mentioned through Elgalail, and then he was okay in the McKinnon. It's just the weight and the draw for him, the two challenges.
You could watch that replay last week with Sosie Bond.
Oh, don't mention.
What, tomorrow? 62.
Don't bring
any, it up. Any chance, Dean? Because I've watched that about 15 times, that replay, and literally the only time Sosie Bond was in front was when they hit the line.
Yeah, well, I'm really confident that that's his absolute sweet spot, 1,800 metres. Like, 1,600, they can be often a bit brilliant at good grade, and 2,000, I think, finds him out. He's had 6 goes at the 2,000 for 2 placings, and, yeah, he's been tried over even further. But I think with the weight and the 2,000 metres, that's his challenge tomorrow.
And Power Scream bobs up again. It's a tough horse.
Yeah, no, he's scratched, so he can have the day off. Inverloch and Mongolian Marshall can also have the day off. But, the Irish Flame gets in, who's been running well, but this is a bit harder, and he's got the wide draw to contend with. So it's a terrific field, as it should be, for that sort of money.
What's the market looking like here, Quinny?
Pretty open, as you would expect. The best backed runner is Junipel, who's now a $5.50 joint favourite with a fair to remember. And there's been a little bit of money around for Kingsville Dream, who did win the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes over this trip last spring, a $12 chance into 10. Dino, just a couple of long shots that you haven't put in the quaddy, and you could probably make a couple of cases for all of them at their absolute best. Kawhi has won this race the last 2 years, one time as an $8.50 chance, one time as a $15 chance. Goes around here at $26, but is in from 41. Can Lightning Strike for a third time, or basically is it too hard to back this horse on the back of the last run?
He's just down that little bit on form from last year. I mean, he's had the same program, and he's been about 3 lengths behind where he's been. So he's just got to elevate on the day where he has in the past. I think this is a better race than the previous 2 years, but I couldn't have him winning. I hope I'm wrong, because I've got a small involvement in the managementship of him, but he has been battling a little bit this campaign.
And a similar question with number 13, Furion. If he could find his best from that magnificent Warrnambool Cup win, he'd be right in this, but probably hasn't fired after a long injury layoff just yet.
No, he hasn't. He's been disappointing. He was encouraging at the in the Cranbourne Cup, but he failed at Bendigo. I don't think he actually stays. I think, you know, he won the Warrnambool Cup on a bit of class. This is probably more his trip, but he's got a lift.
And Scotty, if you want to follow Power Scheme, the Kilmore Cup Sunday for you.
Oh, beautiful. It'll be $1.10 there, surely.
Also, the Country Cup Circuit will be out at Kilmore as well on Sunday. So you've got all bases covered in terms of dedicated coverage this weekend, Scotty. Rama, what are the numbers there in the second leg of the quaddy, the Ballarat Cup tomorrow?
Yes, 10, 5, 4, 14, 7, and 9.
Let's head to race 9 on the card, the third leg of the quaddy. It's a Magic Millions Classic tomorrow, over 1,100 metres. No scratchings, I don't think, at this stage. The Astrologist is a pretty short price favourite here. And Dean, is that where you're heading in this one?
Yeah, he should be a short price favourite too, Andrew. He's a terrific talent. He always has been. He's had 2 runs for Leon and Troy Corstens, and he won at Geelong Cup Day with the big weight. won easily, and then he was so far out of the handicap and out of his grade when he ran in that listed race, and all but won against Exhilarates. That's terrific form. It was a very fast race on Cup Week. Ran 1.8 for the 1,200 metres. Back to 1,100, I don't think, is a problem. And under this set weight scale, he's very well treated for the form he's in. I think he should win. If he was to be beaten, it'd be Hawker Hurricane, who has won here. He won the Clockwise Classic here 2 years ago, and he has trialled very well, and he's a good talent. The rest sort of got to improve a bit to come up to their level. I think probably the likes of Can't Be Done, Whip Crack Away, Little Contra have got little place chances, but for the quaddy, we're going very trim.
Oh, I like this.
That's always good news on a Friday morning, the trim up leg of the quaddy. It's a nice thing to hear.
What's happened to Standoff, Dino? It's sort of the only reason, you remember horses you threw in a quaddy and they get up at big odds, so you forever are in debt to them. It was one of them.
Yes. One down the straight. Big odds at Flemington. D Dunn aboard. And since then, hasn't done a lot. Had that good winter form, but the one run over early spring was terrible. Has trialled up okay. But I'd want to see it do it again on race day.
All right, there we go. A pretty short price favourite there. Quinny, is the market reflecting that? And has all the money come for the astrologers?
Yeah, the best back runner on the program, Maisie, has been 280 into 230, and after a good little push from Dino, will no doubt continue to be popular. Dino, hopefully you got a slice of the 280 for your legion of fans that will no doubt be taking the 230 on the back of that push. What sort of quote do you have the astrologist ranked?
Oh, yeah, I think anywhere better than $2, the way he's going. I think he's very well placed in that race. So, and what he's doing this preparation as opposed to in the past is he's making his own luck. He's just jumping, putting himself right there. So it's I'm hoping it's a pretty straightforward watch that he's outside the lead and goes from there.
All right, it's always nice in the third leg of the quaddy. Fingers crossed the astrologist can get the job done. For all of Dean's fans tomorrow, plenty of them listening in, of course, this morning on RSN. Rammer, quaddy numbers here. Not too much breath needed.
No, just an easy one. 3-1.
Fantastic. I love that. Let's head to the final race on the card. The Haymarket over 1,400 metres. Big field to finish. Just one scratching at this stage, which is Salon du Cheval for Lindsay Smith, which has been taken out, the number 13. This is a tough way to finish. It's basically $4 for Yao Dash, but there's plenty of chances here. Dean, were you able to nail this down a little bit, or is it a wide open last leg of the quaddy?
Yeah, I think you could look at it two ways. I think the horse that is favourite, and I think the one to beat is Yao Dash, number 7, and he comes through the same race as the astrologist does on Melbourne Cup Day, and it was a terrific run because they were winning down the outside or two-thirds out down the straight, and he was more to the middle and just sort of in the awkward spot down the straight. I thought he ran a tremendous race. He's had one run on a dry track at 1,400 metres. It was last year's Golden Rose. He ran fourth to Bivouac, Yes, 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 and Exceedance. You'd think that sort of form and winning this race.
Solid.
So he's the one to beat. I thought Viral ran really well on Melbourne Cup Day in the 1,400 metre race, and for that reason, I think he's ready to probably peak third up from a spell. I think he's got a good chance. If you like him, there's one through his last preparation in number 3, Saffin, who ran really well once last preparation. It was a dry track, 1,400 metres. Either side, he hit wet tracks, and he was no good. His recent trial was okay. He didn't have the blinkers on for the trial. He races in blinkers. I think he's big odds, well worth including. Star Missile ran well through Cup Week, but chances to Titan Blinders 5 and 15. Sonderlon, who's trialled up very nicely for this. So I think Yao Dash is a deserved favourite, but I'll still be going wide in this leg of the quaddy.
Dino, what about the enigmatic Bee Hunter? I thought I'd found it, $15 during Cup Week. It was a huge run. Should have nearly won.
Yeah, there's a lot of should have nearly ones in his repertoire. He's he runs well. And Ocular ran really well on Cup Week, and I've left him out. And depending on scratchings, the difference is the one I'm probably most wary of that I haven't got in those numbers, number 19. If he got into the field, he's getting closer, he could certainly make his presence felt because he ran well Cup Week as well.
All right. You did mention Saffin there. Now,
well, we're waiting. I just deliberately let that go.
My heart skipped a beat. $81 it's listed at in the paper. Quiddy, that's not a bad push from Dean. Of course, outside the favourite, Yao Dash. Now, what's the market doing in the last?
Yes, Marit, an $81 chance to win, $22 the place. So the statue of Dino will get even bigger and more silver if that can get the job done there. Yao Dash has been the market mover in the lucky last, $5 into $4. And there's been a bit of money around for Bee Hunter, one of Scotty's favourites there, $7 into $6.50. But an interesting way to end the program. Dino, you did make a little case there for Saffin, a previous first up winner, currently $81 and $22 the place. Is that something that might hold a bit of appeal?
It may do, and it may get a mention in a few minutes' time, Nicholas.
Keep your powder dry there. Keep your powder dry. Rammer, for those people who have just switched on the radio, just waking up on this Friday morning, run us through the last leg of the quaddy and the previous three as well, if you can.
Okay, so the last leg, 7, 6, 3, 4, 5 and 15. Then if we go back to the top, race 7, 6, 3, 16 and 1. Race 8, 10, 5, 4, 14, 7 and 9. Race 9, just 3 and 1. And then finally race 10 again, 7, 6, 3, 4, 5 and 15.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Rama. Very much looking forward to the Rama Ruffy in just a minute or so as well. But before we get there, Dean, time to read out the best two for you for your formula bet this week. And who have we got as our contestant? If you haven't registered, head to the website rsn.net.au.
Trent Brown of Alfreton is our contestant of the day, Andrew. And for Trent, we are having $40 to win on, there's a bit of a theme to these, race 1, number 2, The Gouch, and race 9, number 3, The Astrologist. So $40 on a pair of those. And the $40 on the all up of the pair, race 1, number 2, into race 9, number 3. That's for Trent Brown of Alfreton.
Are you a that or a the man?
Sounds like I'm a that man, but maybe you're going to correct me, being a former Neighbours actor of great note.
Well, yes. I never had actually any lines, so all I had to do was practice.
Yeah, but you could tell you were talking in that milkshake scene.
Thank you very much. I actually
mumbling to yourself.
Yeah, I demonstrated this to Matt Stewart, great acting the other day, in Daniel Harford, where just fake drinking a fake milkshake. Amazing performance.
So it wasn't even. Was there anything in the actual?
No,
it's
just a cup. They just gave me a cup.
All right, we've got to get a milkshake out of it, wouldn't you?
Oh, no. Yeah. Didn't even get a free milkshake, so that was a bit unlucky.
We shouldn't talk milkshakes in this segment. Now, anyway, no. Dino, we're waiting, and we think we've had a little entree into Rammer's Ruffy.
Well, it's not my top selection, Scotty, but I just think that it's massive odds about Saffin, that even if he can run a place. A few of the betting shops have reacted to our conversation already, I've noticed. One of them's decided it's $26 chance. So I don't know about that. But not at the tab. Tab's still solid at the 81 and 22, Nicholas.
Why can't I get on, Nicholas? What's happening here? You're blocking me.
Dino's melted the system with this long shot, so... I'm not sure.
I got the 60s good thing is about 10 minutes ago. Now it's 80s.
It's your phone. Your phone is stuffed. It's officially cooked. We did have an SMS before suggesting if you needed some help with your phone, there's a place in God's country to go to, BuzzTech in Latrobe Street opposite St Mary's Footy Club. So thank you very much it's anonymous, that, off the SMS.
BuzzTech.
But, good little fix-up for your phone, Scotty, so you can get on at tab.com.au. Hey, in terms of the all-up, Dino's all-up tomorrow, Quinny, and also the Rama Ruffy, what are we looking at in terms of the odds?
Well, the Rama Ruffy, as we've mentioned, 81 the win, 22 the place, and the all-up, 270 the Gouch into 220 the Astrologist, comes to $5.94.
Fantastic. It's going to be
Nicholas, it says it's in progress on the app. They're racing already. What? In race 10.
Your phone is officially stuffed.
No, I can't blame Scotty for this one. I've got the same thing here.
Dino
has melted. Melted them.
You have officially melted the system. I hope it's not...
There's no smoke
those
anywhere.
Those gremlins need to go on to Saturday like the other week.
Don't mention
my hair's just returning to normal colour after that. And for you, Scotty Gullen, Power Scheme, a $4 favourite in Sunday's Kilmore Cup.
Zach Reed, an AFL draft prospect who is a highly touted youngster, key defender, 202 centimetres, and I'm very interested to find out what his year's been like. Zach, he joins us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Zach, good morning.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for jumping on. Now, I'll tell you what, you couldn't have predicted this at the start of the year. You touted as a really high draft, but you hopefully go in the top 20 or 30, and you wouldn't have played much footy in your draft year, and you've been probably as fit as a fiddle. What's it been like sitting on the sidelines in Victoria for most of the year?
Yeah, it's a bit different. You know, a bit boring because, like, footy's, you know, the main thing I usually do outside of school, but school took up a fair bit of time, so I was pretty busy with that. But, yeah, I've been a bit different, but, yeah, tried to just stay fit and, kept running and, you know, doing weights at my home gym, so... Got that in, and I'd actually got a couple games in for Lane Gaffer with the 18s locally, but yeah, that got shut off pretty quick after the second wave come through.
Now, Zach, you're 202 centimetres. Normally we'd be thinking ruck, but more key defender is your preferred option?
Yeah. I've kind of, like last year I played, mostly full back, centre off back. But I got thrown around a bit as well. Like I played forward and ruck as well. So, I think I'm pretty versatile, but yeah, I've sort of settled down in that back spot the last couple of years. So.
How was the mental challenge at home? Training on your own, obviously there's been a hell of a lot of pauses and uncertainty around the immediate future of footy, not only in Victoria, but, you know, other parts of Australia as well because of the COVID crisis. What was it like mentally, you know, motivating yourself to lift weights, to go for a run, as much as you could, by yourself through the period?
It was a bit challenging at times. I suppose there's some days you just, your motivation was a bit low, but I've got two brothers and my old man, so, they sort of got me up and we sort of did sessions down there, down the oval with those boys. So, they sort of kept me on track and, it was probably school as well. Because we went back to home school, which was also a bit different. But, I just tried to stay pretty consistent with what I was doing, and I thought I handled it, pretty well.
Zach, what did you learn from your brother's experiences a couple of years ago? He was a very, very good player himself, but unfortunately didn't get drafted. What did you learn from him about the way to train, the way to play? What advice did he give you?
I suppose just the main thing was just to work hard, especially over pre-season. Like Kyle, after his first year in bottom age 18s, he, worked hard over pre-season, come back in like real good nick, and it really helped his footy. So I tried to do the same, and I just worked really hard on, my aerobics and, that sort of stuff. And Kyle's just sort of told me to, stay in the moment this year. He was telling me this before COVID anyway, but sort of just told me to stay in the moment and don't let, just listen to the people that you trust and don't let like outside noise interfere with your footy. And that's the sort of advice he gave me, I think.
So as we mentioned, it's been obviously a very, very different year. Obviously, the draft combine, which you usually attend, was very much watered down this year. But what about interviews with clubs this year? They've been done over Zoom. How many clubs have you spoken to at this stage?
They're a bit different, over Zoom. I had 17 during the year, I think it was middle school holidays, and then those were just the initial ones that sort of just get to know you and that sort of stuff. And then I had like 4 or 5 second ones probably a couple months ago now, but haven't had any lately just because of exams and that, so that's sort of what I have.
There was a couple of rule changes during the week, so we'll find out what effect they've got on the level below, which where they're going to be a little bit more expansive in the rule changes. He joins us actually on the line now, Mark Williams, the Werribee coach on RSN. Welcome back and good morning, Choco.
Yeah, good morning to you guys as well.
Now, we were just talking to Zach Reed, who's a draft prospect coming through, and we were asking about some of the curly questions that he's been thrown by footy clubs. What were some of the curly ones you used to throw at those 17 and 18-year-olds and make them sweat a little bit?
Look, I don't know. I certainly didn't ask just, what type of fish you like. you've only got 10 or 15 minutes with them. Sometimes I remember Travis spoke, we just opened up the computer and showed him stoppage situations and wanted to know what was going on and what would you do and where do you think the ball was going. And, you know, to this day, I still recall, you know, how brilliant he was. And, you know, it's paid off to think that it was a great choice getting him. So, you know, some are like that. Others just tell stories. Some are quite shy, you know. Country kids, and my parents come from the country, so I would be talking about going shooting rabbits, and you know, so it went all over the place. But I just wanted to see their personality, if they could, you know, handle, you know, probably me and my you know, the way that I wanted to try and motivate people and see how driven they were to success, if they showed any leadership skills, all of those sort of things.
Choco, just with those the first-round picks that clubs have got multiple first-round picks, how important are those picks to set your club up for the future? Do you spoke then about the attributes that a player needs to have, particularly of those first-round picks. Will you take a guy that shows more leadership? Would have you taken a guy that shows more leadership quality than potentially more skill at some stages because of the potential of that player being a 10, 15-year player for the club?
If it's marginal, if it's you know, one or the other, and they're pretty similar and someone had that would be even better. You know, I remember Darren Glass, you know, I said, oh, you'll be a captain of the team one day, and he was. You know, that's at 18, and we didn't have the opportunity to pick him because we were, not in the same spot in the draft. But so some of these kids you can really see early days and be exactly right. I think that some people don't bother going, some coaches don't bother, but, you know, I think it's really important to go and be part of the recruiting system and also, you know, put yourself on the line a little bit and say yes or no, not be kind of lukewarm with them and then judge other people in the future by saying, well, you chose him, I really didn't choose him. So I think you certainly need to be involved a bit, you know, collaboratively and make sure that, you know what you're getting.
Mark, the new rules that were introduced into the second-tier competition in the 2021 VFL and East Coast competition, what was your reaction, first of all, to the positional changes where we're going to have three players to be stationed inside 50 at each stoppage? When the announcement was made, what was your first reaction?
Look, I've been in, you know, in coaches' meetings with the AFL for quite a long time over the years, and you know, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of, you know, I understand what they're trying to get, but the fact is that as a VFL coach, I had no idea at all, no consultation at all, and I found that a bit bizarre. But apart from that, you know, I understand what they're trying to do. It's something that all of us are a bit in shock. Certainly, we have to take a little bit of time thinking about it because, you know, having never been, you know, in the NAB system, certainly not quite aware of exactly the nuances of it, you know, how to get an advantage or not an advantage, or, you know, how not to get free kicks against you. So I'm sure there'll be some video packages to try and illustrate exactly what it is. You know, we have 3 or 4 months now to get our players to understand it, and obviously that'll be part of our coaching as well.
Do you think it could do what they want, Mark? You know, open it up, more goal scoring, etc.
Ah, well, that's obviously what they're trying to do. I would suspect that they would have had all the details on this from the NAB as to work out whether it works or not. But, they're trying their best. And, all I say, and I remember saying it in the past, if you make one change, you'll be able to at least work out what the outcome of that change is. But when you do multiple changes at the same time, it's pretty hard to identify what did what.
So Choco, then how would you, like, obviously you're just the way you look at the game through a different lens has been unbelievable throughout your coaching career, but how would you change, or what would you change to the game now? Take away this density rule that they're bringing in. How do you think, what do you think is the best way to go about making the game more offensive right at the moment?
The questions like that are just off the top, it's almost stupid to answer, because I don't sit and think about it. It's not my role. But if you ask me one thing and what I would change, if anything, the easiest thing to do would be for the VFL to play without wings, and try and then have protection without wings. I think if you play 16 aside, it would be a back to the VFA times. I think that would have the most impact on the game. It's just less people trying to protect the same amount of area, and I think that would get the same result without doing all these kooky things. And it's obviously easier for country teams and easier for kids teams to get 16 on the field together rather than 18. So it actually it helps keep the teams together.
To the Essendon ruckman, who's going to be a Bomberland in 2021 after signing a new deal the other day. He joins us on the line. Andrew, good morning.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
What was the process like? Obviously, it's a little bit different this year with list management, not knowing how many players are allowed in 2021. Was it a little bit nervous at times, or were you always confident of getting the deal for next year?
I was pretty confident in myself, but it's still, the process obviously dragged out a little bit longer than normal and probably what I would have liked. A little bit of doubt started to creep in and a few nerves. And it was definitely a bit of a tricky time, but obviously understand where where everything's at and the decisions that have to be made. But unfortunately, it made it a bit tricky. But luckily enough, everything in the end came good, and we're able to lock in another year. So bloody stoked.
They need you. I mean, Bell Chambers and McKernan out the door. It's you and Sammy Draper.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously that obviously played in my favour, and something that I saw is I was sort of still needed there, and obviously really wanted to be there. So fortunately that worked in my favour, and looking forward to it.
So were there other options, Andrew, that were potentially available to you if Essendon said, look, there's no longer a spot available?
That's kind of what we started to look into. Obviously, they couldn't commit 100% to me at a certain time, and so obviously, we had to sort of couldn't really afford to just sit and wait and hope. So we started having a look around elsewhere, and obviously got a little bit of interest from Melbourne, which was good. And so that potentially if things had have played out a little bit further and things had have kept going, that could have been an opportunity for me had we sort of had to pursue that. But fortunately enough, things were able to get sorted, and we didn't have to knock down that door too hard, which was good.
Andrew, we spoke to Steph Martin early in the week about tandem ruckman. I mean, it looks good on paper sometimes, but the reality is the chemistry's hard to get. You and Sam Draper, I mean, have you talked about how it can work so you're both in the team at the same time?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, it can be pretty tricky. I think the ability to play forward as a ruck and as that other tall forward is crucial. You can't really have, obviously, two rucks, one on the bench and one on the ground, especially with interchange rotations going down. So that ability to go forward and that chemistry as two rucks is obviously is crucial, and it's something hard to get with limited opportunity sort of in games to sort of do that. So, yeah, it's been a bit tricky, and especially with a tall forward line as well, chucking a resting ruck down there can obviously throw the balance out a little bit as well. So it's definitely a bit of a tightrope to get right.
Competition for spots is always a healthy thing at footy clubs. What's your mindset then going into next year? Is it, I want to beat Sam and be the number one man and, you know, even work on my own for the entire game if need be? Or is it forming a partnership over the pre-season that you can both work well together?
Look, ideally, I've always liked the idea of two rucks, and that's something I've always sort of pushed for. But at the same time, obviously, I want to be the number one, and that's something that, you know, every ruck wants to be at every club. So obviously I'll be pushing for that, but at the same time, I'm coming up to 30 now, and I've played at three different clubs and for a fair while now, and Jace is a super talent and a super young kid, so that might be something this year that I might try and look into a little bit more and assisting him and sort of supporting him, but at the same time I'd still love to take the number one ruck in him.
With the third pick in the 2020 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select LaMelo Ball from Chino Hills, California.
Oh, it would have been a proud moment for those in the NBL and our man, Scotty, who we were talking about this week. We've claimed him now, LaMelo Ball, for the rest his career. After seeing him up close and personal here in Australia, we were very happy with that yesterday. Jeremy Lolliger, the NBL CEO, joins us on the line. I'm sure he would have been as proud as punch as we saw four draftees with NBL backgrounds into the NBA yesterday. Jeremy, good morning and welcome to RSN.
Morning, chaps. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a pretty special day.
Now, how close are you to LaMelo? Did you get to shoot him a text or any of his representatives congratulating him on the pick?
I sent him and his manager a congratulations, along with RJ and his parents, and Josh Green in particular sent him a few texts back and forth prior to and during the draft, and he was certainly very, very excited. I feel sorry, though, for Justini and Jessup. I shouldn't feel sorry for him. He got picked up second round in the draft. It was a fantastic day for him. But he's obviously on his way here to play with the Hawks this season. And he actually spent the draft in quarantine in a hotel here in Australia and found out all by himself. So our thoughts go out to Justini. And I'm sure he's still got a very big smile on his face being a second-round draft pick with the Golden State Warriors, but not the ideal circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as an administrator and how far this league has come in the last 5 years, how proud were you yesterday to have that volume of players from the NBL heading to the NBA in the next season?
Yeah, it looked very exciting. I think particularly with RJ and LaMelo going in the first round, I think that sort of underlined what the Next Stars program is all about. In one short NBL season, we have a kid who was ranked number 46 in his class when we contracted him, prove all the doubters wrong, and get drafted at number 3. And at the same time, the NBL broke every viewership and attendance record in 41-year history this past season, largely because of LaMelo and RJ being here. And I think that sort of underlines what the program's all about. You'll never find a better example of a win-win situation. We're incredibly proud to have been able to play a small part in their journey.
From where was the program born, like the idea, when it was thrown up initially? How was it embraced and then delivered, obviously?
Yeah, well, it was born out of the fact that Terence Ferguson came and played a season with the Adelaide 36ers, and he then got drafted at number 21, but the important piece in that puzzle was that he chose to come to the NBL instead of going to college. And there were some question marks at his time around his academic eligibility, but it made that decision easier for him, I guess. But that's when the penny dropped that, hey, there's something in this and we are a legitimate pathway alternative to college basketball. And so we, I guess, nationalised the program, made it a league-wide program in which, you know, the league goes out and sponsors these players and contracts these players. When I say sponsors, we pay part or most of the salary for the players and to encourage them over here and then work with them to place them into an NBL team and basically give them the opportunity to be the best version of themselves that they can be ahead of the draft. And I think we're starting to prove that the theory works.
So, Jeremy, when a kid is drafted into the AFL, when he plays his first game, there's a financial reward that goes back to their original club, their junior club. Within these, particularly Lamello and RJ being in the first round, they're obviously going to play for their respective teams next year. Mm. Is there any financial reward that comes back to the NBL for them too?
There is. So the circumstances are a bit different. It's not when they play their first game. It's when they accept a guaranteed contract. If they've got a multi-year contract elsewhere, then in order to be able to accept that contract into the NBA, that contract obviously has to be broken. And so the NBA have rules around how much a club is able to pay in order to induce another club to terminate their contract, a buyout fee. So that amount comes back into the program, essentially. It's what funds the next generation of next stars to come through the following year. In the ordinary course, it gets shared between the NBL and the club who he played for in order to basically cover the costs of their being here during the season. And then we use part of it to engage with those players on, an ambassadorial basis in year forward. So you can expect to see more of RJ and LaMelo's faces still because they will become ambassadors for the league.
Will Sutherland's just about to join us. Looking forward to the summer of cricket. Of course, Australia A, part of the build-up as always, and the squads for both the Australian Test squad and the Australia A squad were named a couple of weeks ago. So very much looking forward to all of the next generation, as well as some others strutting their stuff. One of those will be Will Sutherland. He joins us on the line now. Will, good morning. Welcome back to RSN.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
What's your last couple of weeks look like, or probably last week since the end of the Shield, and then obviously the honour of being named in the Australia A squad? How much excitement is there for you with, of course, the Big Bash not too far away as well? It's a busy calendar.
Yeah, it's starting to ramp up a bit, which is good. A bit of a surprise getting picked in that squad, but, yeah, a huge honour and, good to get recognised for some solid performances in the Shield, and obviously it was great to be back playing in the Shield this season.
You seemed to grow a huge amount in the back half of last Sheffield Shield season. Obviously you've carried that through to the start of this year's competition. What do you put that down to? Is that just you growing into your body? Is it you becoming more familiar playing at the elite level? What's been the major change or development from your point of view?
Probably just a bit of confidence and playing more games, a bit more secure in your spot and that sort of thing. So, and just being able to learn off some of the guys in the team has been really good as well. So, bit of a slight change from end of last season now with the Kookaburra ball this season. So it was, good to be able to perform a little bit with that as well.
Well, it didn't seem like the curators really were helping you out. It seemed to be a batting paradise, these Shield games, and there was double centuries all over the place. How did you find the early conditions early in the season?
They were pretty flat wickets. didn't get a hit either, thanks to the curators as well. But it was good pull away. Unfortunately, we didn't get any results. But hopefully that turns around for the rest of the season.
How was it, like, you had to quarantine in Adelaide? Like, how was all that experience? Were you able to train? Did it impact on basically getting started?
We had to do a 14-day quarantine. So, we were lucky enough. We could train sort of three or four times a week, which is good. Kept us sane. But, it was an interesting experience. And, good one to tick off for life experience.
Now, what about the big... I know you got the Australia A, but how quickly can you flick focus to the Big Bash?
Probably look to focus on Red Bull, see what I can do until the Australia A stuff finishes, and then should have a little bit of time. I think we have 6 days between our second and third BBL game, and then look to switch to white ball then. So might miss the first couple of Big Bash games, but lock in on Red Bull for now and try to push my claims there.
Is that a whole mindset switch, or is it, do you practice completely differently for when you switch the codes?
I don't find it too different, really. Same pitch and everything, same ball, so just a slight adjustment in length and slow balls and that sort of thing for bowling and
batting, yeah, it's not too much of a switch, I don't think, really. Just, yeah, working on a couple of bit of power hitting and that's about it.
So, well, with the Australia A stuff, were you surprised with that call-up or do you think you're absolutely ready for that now?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. It wasn't in my mind at all, really. But, you know, I think you got to back yourself. I've come up a level a couple of times and gone okay. So, yeah, and it's just really some sad story. Just keep doing what you've been doing to get there. So, yeah, I'll just keep doing that and hopefully go okay.
So was it a goal at the start of the season to start to get this these representative honours, albeit it's Australia A, but to have your name just in that field now of Australian players, was it a goal of yours to start this season?
No, definitely not. I think, yeah, for me it's always just about trying to win games for the team, for Victoria. And if results come from that, then that's a big positive. But, yeah, definitely when you put the big V on, it's just trying to win games for the team. And, yeah, as I said, if things come from that, then that's great.
The Breakfast Club, 6 till 8:30 weekdays on RSN 927.